I'm Peter Mayoris.
And I'm David Dolson.
And we're here with Bruce Yoakum talking about prophecy. Bruce is a longtime member of Covenant Communities. He came to the Charismatic Renewal in the 60s, and he was early on, began prophesying. He wrote a book called Prophecy, which this series is based on, and he has been in the Servants of the Word, a celibate group of lay men, till now. I won't tell you how long that's been, but he's been up there. And Bruce also was a senior elder of the Brothers for a long time. Bruce, thanks for joining us. Can you just tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to have the gift of prophecy?
Well, I was how I came to have the gift of prophecy, that's an interesting question. I was a student at the University of Michigan when Steve Clark, Ralph Martin, Jim Cavanaugh, Jerry Rauch moved to Ann Arbor to start working with university students. I met them immediately and heard from them about baptism in the Spirit and charismatic renewal. And 2 days later, they prayed with me and I was baptized in the Spirit. And it all happened very, very quickly. Of course, that was the absolute beginning of charismatic renewal. We didn't know anything then. So we didn't know how to give people an introduction to it or how to pray with them. Or we just did it. But I got baptized in the Spirit. And a short while later, I was at a prayer meeting. I'd heard a couple of prophecies, but I didn't really know anything about it. But in the middle of this prayer meeting, I felt very strongly that I should give a prophecy. And it's very difficult to describe what that's like. It's, you know, there are many, many things that you can only describe effectively if you know that other people have had the same experience. Mm. So when you tell somebody, oh, I had that sort of elevator feeling in my stomach, you know, most people will understand that because they've had the same experience of going down very quickly and you feel something move inside. So I don't know that I can describe it in a way that someone who hasn't experienced it will understand. But if you have experienced it, you will. I felt the presence of God. I heard something, not audibly, but very strongly. Something came to mind to say, and I felt urged to say it. And so I did. And, you know, many people prophesy. This is an important point. If we have time for this, right?
Of course.
This is a very important point. Many people prophesy when they're first baptized in Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a very common experience, and it's a common pattern. You see it in the Acts of the Apostles, 3 times in the Acts of the Apostles. You see it in Acts chapter 2, when all the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they prophesied. Mm. And then I'll come back to that later. Then you see it in Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius. You see it in Acts chapter 19. You also see it in Numbers 11. Numbers 11, God tells Moses to gather 70 of the elders with him. And God poured out his Spirit on them. When they did, they prophesied. Hmm. And but interestingly, in Numbers 11, it says they prophesied when the Holy Spirit came on them, but they did so no more. Hmm. So they prophesied on that occasion, but they didn't prophesy after that. And that's probably what happened with most of the disciples on Pentecost as well. They prophesied. It's in a sense, it's a reaction to, a response to the coming of the Holy Spirit into your life. But then, there are some people to whom God gives a gift to prophesy, and they prophesy more regularly. The only way that you can know that is if you prophesy when you think you're supposed to do so. Mm-hmm. And then you watch to see if it has an impact, if it has an effect. Mm-hmm. It's very important that other people let you know whether your prophesying actually changes something spiritually. So I prophesied that first time, and then a short while later, I felt very strongly again that I should prophesy, and so on. So that's really how it began for me.
That's really interesting. I was wondering if you could share with us maybe one of the early prophecies that you remember from your time when you were first experiencing the gift of prophecy or even hearing other people prophesy.
Well, most prophecy... I've just written a second book, by the way.
Mm-hmm. This isn't a commercial.
But the second book is much more theological and academic than the first one. But one of the things that I point out in this new book is that almost all prophecy is ephemeral. I've looked for a different word, but ephemeral is really the right word. Something that's ephemeral is there for a moment, and then it's gone. Hmm. It doesn't last.
Yeah.
And almost all prophecy is like that. Now, when we think of prophecy, we very often think of the prophecy in the Old Testament. Makes sense. That's the most important prophecy that we will ever hear. But that prophecy from the Old Testament is a very small part of all the prophecy that was given in the times of the Old Testament. Even in the life of Jeremiah, for example, the book of Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible, in number of words. But Jeremiah prophesied for 46 years. He said a lot of other things that are not in that book.
Yeah.
And most of it's not there because it was ephemeral. It's for the moment. Mm. And so if you ask what's the content of most prophecy, it's not remarkable. It's not earth-shaking. It's not life-changing. What's important about prophecy most of the time is the work of the Holy Spirit through it, the action of the Holy Spirit. Mm. So you give a prophecy that's very simple, God speaking to us and assuring us that he's faithful and that he will care for us. We already know that. Mm-hmm. It's not, the content is not a great new revelation. But if it's genuine prophecy, when you hear it, the Holy Spirit does something in you. Mm. Perhaps gives you a deeper conviction or a deeper certainty about God's faithfulness. Mm. So when you ask me, what are some of the early... I don't remember. I don't remember. I remember a very few prophecies whose content really was more significant, and which, where other people also recognized it was more significant. Probably the most famous is prophecies that Ralph Martin and I gave, very, very similar prophecies, at a conference for Catholic Charismatic Renewal in 1975. We were in Rome in St. Peter's Basilica, and we both very strongly experienced God saying something about the times we live in. Mm. That we live in times that are going to be very difficult, days of darkness, but that at the same time God was doing something to renew his people, and that this time of darkness would give way to, as one of the prophecies said, the greatest era of evangelism in the history of the church. Mm-hmm. So I remember that prophecy. I remember some that have a very particular significant content. But most, I don't. So I don't know, the first 6 or 7 years of my giving prophecies, I could probably only recall one or two and what they said.
So some of those like landmark prophecies that people in Sword of the Spirit still look back to, and things like the Bulwark prophecy, this prophecy in Rome. At the time, before you were giving these prophecies, or kind of at the time you were giving them, did you realize this is a significant prophecy that's not just for right now, but that will be affecting people down the line? Or was it more just, well, I've got a word and I need to speak it?
I don't think you ever know before you say it. You can have a very strong conviction that God wants you to say this. But you can have that about prophecy whose content is very normal. Prophecies that are ephemeral. I think it's only after you give it and you see that other people also paid attention to it, took note of it, that you can say, that you can arrive at a conviction that it's got a more lasting significance. So I don't know. Sometimes the content, the Bulwark prophecy was given at a gathering where we were just beginning to talk about communities being in relationship to one another. And at the beginning part of the Bulwark prophecy spoke about that and said this gathering, this meeting of communities is important. And so because of that, I thought, well, maybe this is important. But you don't know that until later. You don't know it until you see the effect of it on others.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That makes sense.
How do you know that you should prophesy? Or how do you know, like, okay, this is something I should say? How do you know that you have the authority to give it?
Well, again, trying to describe the experience of God by His Holy Spirit giving you something to prophesy is very difficult. Mm-hmm. The best I can say, you have an interior conviction. This is the Lord, and I'm supposed to say this. You feel, I wouldn't say a compulsion, but you feel a very strong sense. In a way, for me, one of the signs is if I know I'm going to feel uncomfortable not saying it, then I should probably say it. If I go away from this meeting or I go away from this moment and I haven't said this, I probably made a mistake. Then you see later from other people's response to it, was it really something from God or not? And then, over time, you gain experience, you learn. When I experienced God working this way, yes, it seemed to be something genuinely prophetic. Other people were affected by it. So now I experience that again. It's probably God asking me to prophesy. And so, how do you know that you have the authority to do it? Well, that, it's actually a good question to ask, because in order to prophesy, you need two things. You need a message. What is it the Lord wants to say? But then you also need to know you're supposed to say it. You've been authorized to say it. So it's God, in a sense, standing behind what is said. And I can't distinguish very clearly the experience of hearing something from the Lord from the experience of knowing that you ought to say it, that the Lord's given you the authority to say it. Mm-hmm. They come together, really. Sometimes it's dramatic. Most of the time it's not dramatic. Jeremiah, in one place, he's complaining to the Lord that he doesn't want to prophesy because most of his prophecy was about the disaster that was going to come on Israel.
It's pretty fair.
It didn't. Yeah, he wasn't happy with it, and other people weren't, so it didn't make him a popular man. So he was saying to the Lord, I don't want to prophesy. But then what he says is, but then your word is like a fire inside me. And I try not to say it, but I can't. Well, it's not usually that strong an experience. And Jeremiah probably was, I wouldn't say exaggerating, but speaking hyperbolically, maybe in order to make his point. But there are times when you really think, I'm not going to be at peace if I don't say this. I really should say this. Most of the time, it's not like that. And, you know, often, if God wants to say something at a prayer meeting, for example, probably there are a number of people there that God will speak to who could prophesy or say something. And it doesn't just depend upon one person. And there are many times when I feel the Lord's given me something to say, but other people say it. And so I don't need to. I don't need to add my amen to what they say. Maybe there are times when you hear other people giving prophetic messages that are similar to what you're hearing, but you think, wait, there's some part, this part of it I think is important, and they haven't said it. So then you can add something to it. But most of the time, prophecy is only for the moment. It's not an earth-shaking experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for somebody who maybe has never prophesied before, but they have some kind of feeling that they might have received a word from the Lord, they don't yet know, though. They've never experienced actually giving one, and maybe they're not sure yet, like, if that really is the Lord. Would you recommend that they, go ahead and try sharing that word? Or would you say, like, maybe hold back, keep testing that?
Well, if you read the Old Testament prophets carefully, one of the things that you'll see is they prophesy in different ways. It's not all the same. The classic thing is, thus says the Lord. And that's scripture scholars refer to as an oracle. When you're speaking just on your... And by the way, that form of speech was common in the times of the Old Testament. And probably the prophets took it from the custom of the time. It was the way that somebody would speak if they were the official messenger of a king or of an important authority. And you can see it again in one place in Isaiah. I don't have the verse handy, but the king of Assyria sends his messenger to speak to Hezekiah. And when the messenger comes, he says, thus says the king of Assyria. And he gives the message. And it's just the same form of speech that you see in oracular prophecy. That's the strongest form. Thus says the Lord. Or when you speak in the first person, I say this or that to you. But there are many other ways to prophesy as well. And if you read the prophets, you'll see there's long passages where the prophet is describing something. And perhaps in the middle of that, part of it will say, and thus says the Lord. Well, similarly, we can bring the word of the Lord in very many different ways as well. And if you're just beginning and you think maybe the Lord's given you something to say, what I would recommend is you tell people, I think the Lord's given me this to say. You don't try to invest it with great authority or stake your life on it or something like that. You you can say, I think this might be a word from the Lord for us. And people will receive that. They'll hear it. And if it is a word from the Lord, it will have its effect. Mm. And they'll recognize it. Then as you get experience, as you have more experience and you're more sure because of your past experience that you are now hearing the Lord and should share something, then you can do it in a different way. Then you can do it in a way that sounds more authoritative. Then you can say, thus says the Lord, or things like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. The way you're even talking about this, like, you know, something like thus says the Lord, seems like there's particular ways to speak a word of prophecy. Over time, have you developed your language or style for giving a prophecy?
Well, certainly not consciously or not intentionally. I don't work on my prophetic style or something like that, but I suppose just through experience, I learn what might be effective in one context or another. And that's very important because the most common image in the scripture for the prophet, he's a messenger. Mm. He or she is a messenger from God. And what's important for a messenger is that they give the message correctly, accurately. And the way that you deliver the prophecy should be based on your assessment of what's going to be most effective. How can I best bring to people this message that I think God is giving? And as people learn to prophesy, you have to learn how to do it. Now, the Holy Spirit has to act. Without the Holy Spirit acting, there's no prophecy. So, and you can't learn how to get the Holy Spirit to do something. Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal for that, because the prophets of Baal were doing all of this shouting and dancing and doing all sorts of things to sort of bring on the word of the Lord. And Elijah was just mocking them. No, there are, you know, there are certain religions or practices where people try to induce the word of the Lord. We don't do that. God takes initiative. As Peter said in his letter, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke. And that's a very important verse. There's others like it, but it's very important because it shows you both sides of things. Man spoke. And I don't know if I have a style. I don't listen to myself that much. Maybe somebody who hears a prophetic word will hey, that sounds like a lot like the way Bruce prophesies. I don't know. But it will sound differently from us because we're different from one another. And Jeremiah sounds different than Isaiah. It's natural. So the people speak, and they'll speak in their way. But it's the Holy Spirit who's acting in them to prompt them to speak.
You said that, you know, and Peter says that, you know, men spoke, you know, the Holy Spirit told them to, in a way. Is there a way then, are there things we can do to better hear the Lord then? Are there, you said there's not practices to, you know, induce the word of the Lord. But are there ways that we can grow in prophecy? Are there ways that we can, learn to hear the word of the Lord better?
Well, yes. I mean, first of all, the most fundamentally, you just grow as a Christian, as a disciple. You pray. You spend time in prayer. Very, very importantly, you read the scripture. You study the scripture. The scripture is God's word, and the more it's in our minds, the more it's in our heads, the more material, in a sense, there is there for God to work with in speaking to us or giving us what to say. So that's general. Everybody ought to be doing that. But if you know that God has spoken to you and does on occasion, again, not everybody has an ongoing gift of prophecy, but if it seems that you do, then I would say, yeah, before prayer meetings, before significant times of prayer together, you ought to take some time to listen or just dispose yourself. Mm. I think one of the most important things is to be there and say, I'm ready. Here I am. If you want to speak, I'm available. Speak to me or speak through me. I think you need to be attentive as well to what God is doing in a group or in a particular meeting. You need to meditate on it too. Mm. Yeah.
Should all Christians expect that they could prophesy? Or maybe if somebody's gone like a few years and they've never received a word before, they just kind of say, okay, well, I guess I don't have the gift.
Yes. In a sense, any Christian, God could act at a particular moment in anybody, even if they've never prophesied before. There are some people who have a more ongoing gift, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, are all prophets? Rhetorical question. The answer is no, they're not all prophets. They're not all apostles, and they're not all prophets. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Some people do. But God could, at any given moment, speak through anybody. Mm-hmm. And when we're praying with somebody or we're very concerned for somebody or a particular situation, we should be ready if God wants to give us something to say to that person. And a lot of times when God speaks, it doesn't come in a form that we would recognize as prophecy. You're praying over someone and you have a sense for them, and so you just say to them, listen, I don't know if this is right, but I think maybe the Lord wants you to pay attention to this or something of the sort.
Hmm. Nice. That's helpful. So kind of in that line, Paul talks a lot about how the spiritual gifts are meant for building up the body. How does prophecy help with building up the body?
Well, any spiritual gift is going to have a spiritual effect on people if it's genuine. It's going to bring life. It's going to bring spiritual life. And prophecy does that. Most prophecy, this is a very important point, I should have said it earlier. Most prophecy is for worship. Mm. It's given in the context of worship, and it's for worship. That is, a very important aspect of it is to bring us into the presence of the Lord and help us to worship God. We often get prophetic prayers or prophetic songs, things that inspire people and draw us closer to the Lord. And again, after the meeting, you may not remember at all what was said. That's fine. It worked at the time to bring spiritual life. So most prophecy is like that. It, as I said, it's ephemeral. It imparts life at the moment. It encourages people. As Paul put it, it encourages people. It consoles people. It draws people closer to God. It doesn't necessarily leave them with a significant message that is going to form what they do or how they think about things. So I suppose it builds up the body primarily through that encouragement, but it's interior encouragement. You know, a lot of people can tell you you're doing well or something like that. Might not have much impact. But there are certain people whose opinion in a given area is very important for you. Mm. Maybe it's because they're an expert in that area, or they're your coach, or something of the sort. And when they say, that's well done, Peter, that's really well done, it has an impact. Mm. And it's not just it's not just what you hear, but it's who you're hearing it from that has that impact. And prophecy is like that. It's God. And when we hear something that's encouraging or consoling, and we have a conviction, this is God speaking, that does something.
Makes sense.
That's really cool.
Before we close, I just was wondering, is there any particular prophecy that comes to mind that has meant something for you personally? You've heard stories, when you hear prophecy, hear talk about prophecy, you hear stories about words that meant something personally to a person. You know, maybe it wasn't spoken to, maybe just it meant something to them. I don't know if you have any stories of like a prophecy you heard that was like personal or that meant something for you.
I'll tell you one that's interesting. I won't tell you where this happened, but I was visiting another community. It's not a part, not a community part of the Source Spirit, but they're very good friends of ours. Mm. And whenever I visit them, I spend time with their leaders in their leaders' meeting. And I was at one of these leaders' meetings a couple years ago, and one of them said, you know, their leader, their main leader, said, we should pray with you. Mm. So they did. And one of the people present there then started prophesying. I've never heard anything quite like this. He prophesied for 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I have a recording of it because someone there turned their phone on. But he was really going to town on this prophecy. But the main part of it was very, very simple. And the main refrain that went through it was, and I don't know where this came from or exactly what he's referring to, but the main refrain is, lift up your cup and I'll fill it up. Mm. Lift up your cup and I'll fill it up. And just 2 weeks ago, so that was a couple years ago, but I've meditated on it a lot, and I've taken it to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, at times I'm very tired or whatever. Not sure what it refers to, but then just recently, again, I was visiting another community, and one of the people there wrote a thank you note, sort of, and with a gift, and gave it to me. And I was very struck by it, because the thank you note said, we'd like to fill your cup, and so here's a little bit of water, if you're thirsty, or something like that. And it struck me because of because it repeated what this other very striking prophecy had said. So there are others, you know, in my life that have had a lot of impact, but that was a very recent one.
Wow, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Seeing fulfillment years down the road, and
it's also the longest prophecy.
I was about to say 20 minutes. I don't know if I've heard a 20-minute prophecy.
I think you could have edited it.
Well, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for talking with us about prophecy. It's an honor to be able to talk to you, the man who literally wrote the book on prophecy. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, brothers.